Hello and welcome to QSO. It's all about ham radio and it's all about the Dayton Hamvention. Our guest this week is Scott Myers, AC8DE, and he's the chairman of the Inside Exhibits, and he's going to give us the inside information, and we're going to talk about Dayton and what's coming up this year. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with Scott Myers, AC8DE, right after this. Week after week, you hear us talk about Trans World Antennas, and you hear us talk about the TW2010, the 4040, the Backpacker, and all these different antennas. Of course, the TW2010 Adventurer came first. Folks were amazed at its performance. Then they introduced the Backpacker, and now the 4040. Go to EHAM and read the reviews on the TW2010. Just go to EHAM and read those reviews. Now, you can do that by going to transworldantennas.com. Just go to transworldantennas.com. Transworld Antennas, one word. Go to transworldantennas.com. There's a link on that page that'll take you right straight to the EHAM reviews. Or you can just go to EHAM yourself. And if you're a ham, you know how to get to EHAM on the internet. Just Google it. You'll get there. And read the reviews. See what other amateur radio operators are saying about this antenna. Thank you. At QSO, we've got a new prize closet, and we've got some interesting things going into that prize closet. Be sure and write us and send us that email that says, I want to win. Put that in the text somewhere in that email and go to our website, QSOradioshow.com. That's QSOradioshow.com, and send us an email. Tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're listening, how the signal's coming in, or if you're listening by podcast. But be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because we're going to have some really, really neat things to give away. We'll be putting those things up on the website and telling you more about them on the air. Be sure and don't miss out. Send us an email and put in there, I want to win. Go to QSOradioshow.com. That's QSOradioshow.com or TedRandall.com, RANDALL, and we'll look for your email. With us today is Scott Myers, and his call sign is AC8DE. If that sounds familiar, it's probably because you've had something to do with the Dayton Hamvention at some point in time. Hello, Scott. How's everything going?
Doing well, Ted. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and I guess we're getting all ready. We're gearing up and preparing for the Hamvention 2010. So, tell us a little bit about what's underway.
Oh well, gearing up. We never stop gearing up here in Dayton. I think I've been geared up since before Christmas time, and we are really filling up the spots. Exhibitors are about done. We are at about 90-95% capacity right now. We've got all sorts of new things planned. Forms are looking good, we have new homebrew area. Just lots of exciting stuff for this year.
Of course, I don't know how much of the history of the Hamvention you know, but how long does it go? How many Hamventions has there been? Do you have a number at this point, or do you? Yeah, I know there's been a bunch of them. But
I should know this since I've written a couple of flyers, but I believe we're right around 80 years. Our history is right out there on our website at www.hamvention.org, and I've read it myself a couple of times, but it's been in Dayton for a very long time, since World War II era. And until it landed at the Hera Arena that everybody is now familiar with, I believe back in the 70s.
Well, I know it's it goes back ever since I can remember being in ham radio, and I remember going to the Dayton Hamvention when I was very young. And you know, it's a funny thing. I guess maybe it was maybe because I was younger, I was a kid, but. Boy, that flea market just seemed huge. It was like, I don't know. It seemed like it was like a 2 or 3 day event walking through the flea market. And now, of course, that I'm older, it doesn't seem that big anymore. But they say the numbers are bigger now than they were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So it must have been that kid factor, you know. But then back then, I remember there was a lot of tube gear back then, lots and lots of tube gear. So if you think about it, it may have required more tables to handle all that stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, you had to have more robust tables than they use now for the tube gear. And there's still a good amount of that out there in the flea market. I was walking around last year, I noted a couple of refrigerators out there, old AM rigs and things of that, which I'm looking at that going, I'd like to bring that home and rebuild it, but boy, my wife would kill me. We're at about 2,500 booth spaces now since they opened up the far west lot.
2,500?
Yeah, it's a little over 2,500. I haven't actually counted them because the numbers aren't perfectly sequential, but it is over 2,500. And we're getting, I think, about two-thirds confirmation at this point. And it, as I put in our information, bring your walking shoes because yeah, it may not seem as big to us now that we're older. But when I came back in the, I guess my first one myself was back in the early 80s. I think I left with quite the sunburn after going around and around and sniffing around at all the stuff. So, yeah, there's a couple of spots and still some tube gear and everything under the sun. You can't find it at the Dayton flea market, it wasn't made. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know, and that's a real opportunity for people who are looking for specific things that they can't find, you know. Because just as sure as a world, you show up at Dayton, there's somebody out there in that flea market, and you'll find what you're looking for. So, there's one of those things. I've looked all over for this, you know. And I actually, tell you the truth, you know, one of the things I think has probably hampered Hamfest early on, I think it's kind of settled down now, and that's been eBay. A lot of people have you know, taken to eBay rather than go to a Hamfest. But I think that right now, from what I can see, that looks like that's dying off some. I think it was kind of a fascination for a while. Now it seems like people are returning to Hamfests, you know, and are thinking to themselves, it'd be easier to just load this stuff in the car, you know, than have to deal with a bidding system and people that don't, you know, they bid on something, they win the item, and then they don't pay for it, you know, and you ship the item to them and they wind up breaking it or something and they want to send it back, you know. And I'm not even going to talk about Craigslist. Now, to me, that thing is nothing but a nightmare. I tried to make connection with a fellow that had a shortwave radio, automotive shortwave radio made by Sony for sale. And I have tried to make connections with this guy about six or seven times. And, I mean, he's just a flake. And he works for a bank, of all things. I mean, you'd think that he would have, you know, some accounting principles and time, but I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. But so I kind of hate Craigslist, and I don't like eBay for buying electronic stuff because you can't see it. You can't actually touch it, you know. And to me, it seems like if you're looking for a used rig or you're looking for something like that, a Hamfest is a way to go. And, of course, Dayton is the granddaddy of all of them. So I guess if I had some extra money saved up and I was looking to buy some gear, Dayton would be the where I would go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, what you're saying is absolutely correct about all the websites. You've got the eBay and the QTHs and the Craigslist and all these things. And, you know, some of the direct sales from like QTH are fine, where you're actually getting a guy's address, phone number, and it's just pretty much a deal over the phone. But when you start talking about eBay, yeah, I know a lot of guys that have bought things off of eBay, rigs and whatnot, and they get them there, and there's something cooked, and, you know, then there's the battle to get their money back, and so there's a lot of unsavory things that go on in that world. Not that everybody on there is unethical, but you have a good portion of it. I've just known too many guys that have had trouble. There's something to be said to coming to Dayton for just the pure choices that you have. And, of course, then you've got the exhibitor there in your face. You've got his booth number, and he can always be tracked back to the Dayton Hamvention.
Well, you know, the thing is, though, is even with any of the online things, I don't care what it is, and you're talking about QTH, you can't really see and touch the radio or the whatever it is you're wanting to buy. You can't see it and touch it. You know, you can't. It's not in front of you. You know, at Dayton, you can pick the object up, look at it, poke around, open the lid, look inside. You know, you may not be able to plug it in right there, but I mean, for the most part, you can. You have the ability of visual inspection. And at a Hamfest, you can always get the other guy's name, you know, and his address, and you know, driver's license number or something. You can get identification. And I mean, people are far less prone, for the most part, to misrepresent something face to face. It's easy. It's easy for a crook to operate on a telephone. He can't read his facial expression. You know, I mean, when you walk up to somebody at a Hamfest and says, "Well, look, this old Heathkit rig was owned by an 87-year-old woman, and she only used it to talk to her church friends on Sunday." You might as well figure something's coming, you know. but you have no recourse really over the telephone or, you know, dealing with an online thing. I mean, there's with eBay, you're not even talking to the people on the phone. I mean, it's you're dealing, you know, primarily with just an email and a bidding system, and you've got no way. Of course, there's the feedback, but that doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't really give you anything. But I think the Hamfest route. Now, let me say this: you know, of all the Hamfests I've been to, and all of the little transactions I've had, you know, at a Hamfest, I can only recall one bad transaction, and that was locally. That was right in my backyard, and that was from somebody that I knew who they were. I have to tell this. It's kind of a funny story. I purchased a radio from this fella, and it's matching power supply. And it was an older radio, but I was looking for an older radio. I was looking for an old secondhand kind of radio that I could use as a knockabout thing. Well, this guy volunteered information and told me that he had sent this thing recently, had been back to the factory, and had been gone through. Well, I really wasn't expecting that. You know, I just wanted to buy an old working radio. And but he went through this whole dissertation and brought the radio home, and I found out it had some strange characteristics, and that is, it would the VFO, it would jump around the dial. It's kind of strange. I mean, you'd key the mic and it would jump up, you know, at KC. And key the mic, it'd jump up at KC. And it did have one of those, you know, control systems in the microphone, and I played with it and I did all kinds of things trying to get it to stop doing that, but it just that was just inherent. Well, I talked to somebody and they said, well, that's a problem that those old radios get. So I saw the guy again at the next Hamfest. So I walked up to him and I said, by the way, I said, you said you sent that thing back to the factory. I said, I'd like to send it back to wherever you sent it. I mean, I figured it was a factory authorized service center or something. You know, I'd like to send it back there and have them look at this problem because it's jumping up and down the dial. And he said, send it back to the factory. And I said, yeah. I said, you told me. I said, he said, oh no. He said, I never told you that. He said, I never said I sent it back to the factory. And I mean, he honestly had forgot the lie he had told me. So that was kind of an interesting situation. But that's the only time. And I mean, really, when you think about it, with all the things I've purchased at Hamfests, Hamfests by far are the best place to buy something. You know, I mean, they really are. Because I did have the ability of running into this guy again. And of course, even if a crooked person is selling something at a Hamfest, they know chances are you're going to see them again. You know, if they're a ham and they frequent Hamfests, they're just not as likely to do something like that, you know. And right. I, for the most part, I found most guys to be extremely honest and extremely straightforward. And if anything, you got a piece of gear sitting there, they will tell you every fault that the thing has and why they're selling it. You know, I was like, so I don't know. I really have enjoyed buying things. You know, it's funny, I've never sold anything at a Hamfest. As long as I've been in this, I have never sold a piece of gear. And, of course, I guess if you looked at my garage, you could tell.
You're a collector like me. That's okay.
But I remember the days.
Somebody has to be a collector.
I remember the days. Well, this has overtones of that television show, Hoarders or whatever it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's why. But I remember back in the days when you would go in and somebody, they'd have like six or seven Heathkit DX100s all sitting on a table, you know. And, of course, then you were checking out the table legs. You were wondering what kind of table is holding all this up. Well, you know, there's a lot of things that go on at Dayton. You have winners. You give away like an award, or you have your various winners each year,
mm-hmm.
In different categories and whatnot. And of course, that goes on. And then there's other things that you can attend too. Generally, there's always somebody there from the Federal Communications Commission. I know Riley Hollingsworth had been there several years. There's always great representation from the ARRL. And, of course, Alan Pitzel, I'm sure, will be at Dayton this year. And he is their public relations director, probably Bill Maureen, who's the fellow who is the with the public relations committee. And then they're always selling those T-shirts. They have the Field Day T-shirts there.
Mm-hmm.
And we wear everybody out and say, get your Field Day T-shirt and come by our broadcast booth and wave the T-shirt at us so we know you. You're getting your new Field Day T-shirt. I haven't seen the Field Day T-shirts for this year. Have you seen what they look like at all?
No, I have not seen what they're going to produce this year. Not at all.
Well, they're usually something that's a great advertisement for the league if you put it on and wear it, you know, to dinner somewhere or something like that. You know, it's they're always something that's a good billboard, you know. It kind of lets everybody know, hey, look here, I'm a radio amateur here.
I wear strictly Hamvention T-shirts myself.
Well, there'll be Hamvention T-shirts for sale too. Now, where do you get those? At what booth do you go to get a Hamvention T-shirt? Because people really ought to get an ARRL Field Day T-shirt, and they should get a Hamvention T-shirt. Is what they really ought to have.
Wow, you know, there's a piece of information I need to put in my back pocket, and I honestly can't tell you. We obviously get them through the Dayton Amateur Radio Association, which is the club in charge of the Dayton Hamvention. So mine just mysteriously show up at a club meeting, and we sell them there. So probably where you're going to find them is at the Dara booth, which is in the front of the Hera Arena, the very front opening there, and you'll...
Well, I've seen them for sale at Dayton. I'm almost certain I remember seeing them.
If they're going to be for sale anywhere, that's where they'll be, in the front entrance to the Hera Arena.
And it seems like some of my crew had purchased some of those at one point in time. It seems like I remember seeing them around.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be, well, anyways, that's what needs to be, you know, needs to have. Of course, then you need to find yourself a good hat with a. An LED flashing call sign button on the top, and
the 2004 Yaesu pink hat works just as well as the flashing one. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I get a big bang out of those. I'll tell you what, there's always guys at Dayton, that have portable rigs with them. In other words, they're actually strapped on their body. They usually have a big whip antenna mounted somewhere, coming off their back, going up. And, of course, they're great to take pictures of because you can go home. And I think a lot of the guys do that because the folks that do it, I think they kind of do it as a public relations thing to try to demonstrate running portable. Oh, and we must not forget Tom Medlin and the helmet cam. So even though we're going to be broadcasting on international shortwave, and all you require is a little handheld radio, and you can listen to the Dayton Hamvention basically anywhere in the USA and overseas, if you have a handheld portable shortwave radio, you're going to be able to hear us live from the Hamvention. But if you happen to be near a computer, of course, we'll be streaming the audio too, so folks mm-hmm. that don't have a radio handy can actually listen to the web stream. Let's go to the QSO Radio Show site, which is QSORadioShow.com, if you are listening by means of shortwave right now. And then, of course, the whole Hamvention that we broadcast will be up on iTunes. So they'll be able to download that into the iPod and listen to and from work. But what I was going to say is Tom Medlin always shows up with the helmet cam. And it's actually more than a helmet cam because he's got some other fixed cameras and whatnot. But he broadcasts the video constantly from the Dayton Hamvention, and he broadcasts the trip to and from and everything, all streaming video, and it's a lot of fun to watch. You know, it really is. I love the people that you see them walk up front of the camera, they pick up their cell phone, they dial somebody they know on the telephone, and then the person at the other end is obviously watching, and they stand in front of the camera waving, you know. it's priceless. Well, tell me, do you have any idea? I don't know if you have a schedule in front of you, because I'm really putting Scott on the spot here, because he's right in the middle of everything, and you know, I've just kind of stopped him in midstream and said, hey, we're gonna talk about the Hamvention, and he's been kind enough to do that. But do you have any idea? Do you have anything in front of you right now that talks about the various types of? Because there's always interesting things. Like, I wandered into a couple of workshops. Sometimes Heil is putting something on. Do you know of anything that's going on that you can think of right offhand that would be an interest to hams, to people that want to, you know, get involved in some facet of the hobby, and they're actually doing a symposium or a lecture or some sort of a presentation or a panel or something like that?
Well, we certainly have a good number of forums, and you're familiar with those, right, Ted?
I was trying to remember the term forum,
yeah.
You know, but it just wouldn't come to me. I use the word symposium, isn't that? And that's pretty bad.
You know? I'll forgive you this time. But at any rate, we have five forum rooms that are in the front of the Silver Arena near the exhibitor office. And in that area, we have forums running all 3 days, and there is a complete schedule of all 3 days out on our website at hamvention.org, and they have completely filled that up. You've got, of course, ARRL talking and Tapper APRS work, D-Star, fox hunting, QRP, and then different social things. There's also they're going to talk about the balloon launch on Friday that we're doing there with a camera and downlinks via radio. So that'll be handled there, not to mention over at our homebrew roundup area, which is new for this year. I could go on and on about the forums, more time than we have. So I would strongly suggest anybody that's interested in seeing all those very interesting forums.
Well, one in particular is this Dr. Paul Barnhart. Are you familiar with him, or Bernhardt? I think, I don't know which way you say it. His call sign is KF4FOR.
And, not familiar. It sounds familiar, though.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He's a senior research. He's a physicist for the Naval Research Laboratory, and he's the guy that heads up HARP. I for all you shortwave people out there, you've heard us talk about. We've heard us talking and harping about HARP. He heads up HARP, and he's with the Naval Research Laboratory facility in Alaska and Arecibo in Puerto Rico. He's wow. Arecibo is where they have that huge radio telescope, and Dr. Bernhardt's going to be presenting a program outlining the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program, and that's what HARP stands for, Active Auroral Research Program, High Frequency Auroral Research Program. I'll get it out. Anyways, HARP's always been this mysterious thing, and everybody's, they're using that to alter the weather, you know. I mean, it's been all over the place. There was a book out called Angels Don't Play This Harp. And it was kind of a conspiracy related kind of book, you know. So I mean, it'll be interesting to hear this guy here. If you're a ham, you need to get with Dr. Bernhardt and listen to him at this forum. This would be very, very interesting to undertake. And I mean, and to think that he's involved with Arecibo, in Puerto Rico, that's a huge radio telescope, and you see pictures of it. You know, I mean, if just Google Arecibo. It's spelled Arecebo, and even if you misspell it, thank heavens for Google, you know, because I can't spell, and you can just about put something in there, you know, that's even remotely related to what you're typing in. And for some reason, Google's able to find it. It must know that there's a bunch of people like myself out there that are just, you know, kind of illiterate. Somebody else that will be talking on Friday at Dayton, and that's Gordon West. And he's going to be demonstrating DSP speakers from the Clear Speech people. Those are kind of mysterious objects. You ever seen one of those things work?
I've seen the demonstrations, but I haven't really dug into it myself.
Well, they they plug them into the receiver, and I mean, it's like they just obliterate noise. I mean, not totally. I mean, nothing can totally do it, but it's really surprising to hear what they can actually do. I'm going down some of the names of the people here. I don't want to bore you, but if you just jump in, because this was a list that I had kind of went down, and I forgot I even had it. But I don't know anything about Carol Perry. Do you know who Carol Perry is?
I do not.
Okay. Now, from what I understand, she is an educator from New York, and she's going to talk about a youth forum, and she's going to talk about it's a forum that is there to support young speakers. And I'm not sure how all that works, but it says our theme this year is Amateur Radio Clubs Worldwide, the Lifeline. See, come join the fun and share the pride by attending this forum to support our young, talented speakers. So it sounds like she's going to have some young people there with her. She's an educator from New York, so that'll be interesting. I mean, see, things like this are cool because if you're in an area and you're wanting to know how to get your younger people involved in amateur radio. And that's one of the problems with a lot of our clubs. I mean, you go to the club meetings, and I mean, you know, there's nobody there under 50, you know, and it's not, I mean, I think that's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. And, but if you're like most people, you kind of scratch your head and say, well, how do I get some young people interested? Well, it sounds like this Carol Perry is going to be the person to talk to, come to Dayton and attend her forum, and I don't know what day her forum is. You can probably look it up and find it. Another interesting thing is there's a fellow there by the name of Dan Van Hoy. Are you familiar with him at all?
Well, he's the guy from Hong Kong.
Right, VR2HF. And he's going to be talking about what it's like to be inside of a ham club and do hamming in Hong Kong. Now, I'll tell you something. The amateur radio hobby is just literally busting loose in China. I mean, these guys are just, you know, they're into ham radio and they're just eating it right up. Now, you know, I can't think of anything, really, when you get right down to it, where we have the opportunity to do international public relations that would have any higher impact than U.S. hams interacting with Chinese hams. I mean, I just can't think of anything better, you know, that would spread goodwill, you know, because, you know, hams tend to lead the way. I mean, we're not necessarily always in the spotlight, but when you think of the things that ham radio operators have brought to the table as far as general public is concerned, I mean, the common cell phone. Of course, I've said this 1,000 times, and I know people are probably sick of me saying it, but the cell phone is a prime example of where ham radio has brought something very special to the general public. My gosh, where would we be without our cell phones?
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of applications we brought out there, and you bring something else to mind, something you don't know about me. Not only am I'm a ham, but I'm an active bicycle racer for Team Dayton. And I use a ham radio with APRS, and we'll put APRS radios in lead cars that are leading out specific groups on course and sit back at the finish line, and you can watch everybody go around the course with APRS on a screen. So it's just amazing the way it can be used.
Well, you know, the other thing is, you're talking about bicycling. I know the huge foot race in New York is all coordinated and I guess I want to say, somewhat managed by amateurs with HTs and mobile rigs and whatnot. And, of course, that is so vital because it's a form of communication that's just not available. You know, you can't do it with the FRS radios. You could, but, I mean, it would be so difficult because, you know, at least hams are organized. You know, we have and there's a hierarchy, and you can get a club or somebody to do something. Well, you've got organized communications, and organized, experienced communications is something you don't find with a bunch of people running around with FRS radios.
Right.
And so that's such a vital thing. But you're talking about bicycling. Oh, gosh, I don't know how many different bicycle marathons and bicycle runs and rides and things that I hear about where hams are participating in the communications of these events. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand when it's talking about ham radio bringing things to the table, just the internet itself, TCP over IP, invented by a couple of hams. You know, so you don't really realize how much is being brought to the table. Now, when you couple that to an international thing, when you've got people, and last year we had some folks from Hong Kong contact us and say that they were, actually they were from Beijing. They contacted us and said that they were coming to Dayton. They'd listened to the broadcast and they wanted to come to the biggest hamvention in the world. And they said they were going to charter a plane and they were coming into Dayton. And actually they requested some assistance in locating hotel accommodations. So I hope I get to meet those guys. I hope I get to see them this year.
Well, that's great that you did that.
And I need to talk to Dan Van Hoy and find out if he knows who these guys are, because I would really like to meet them. It sounded, they told me they were going to, the one fellow that I talked to, and his English was really good, the fellow I talked to, and he said they were going to charter a plane. And I guess they're going to fly in from Beijing or Hong Kong, one of the, wherever they're going to fly in from.
It'll be great to hear their perspective of how it's going over there as far as the ham community.
Well, we get a lot of correspondence from China, from the QSO radio show, and it's amazing because they'll send us pictures of their club, and, I mean, there's a lot of people attended. I mean, it's not uncommon to see a club picture for an amateur radio club where you see 100 people in the picture. So, I mean, it's, like I said, it's really, I'm surprised we don't hear more Chinese hams on the air. Of course, I guess with our sunspots picking up, we'll have that opportunity. And, that'll be very, very cool when that happens. The Balloon Sat Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that at all? Do you know much?
There's been a lot of discussion amongst the hamvention, because what they're doing is a small balloon launch with uplink and downlink with camera and ham radio and live video feed from the balloon. And that will be taking place near the end of the East Hall. Well, the balloon launch itself won't, but at the east end of the North Hall, where we have the homebrew area, where they'll be monitoring that balloon and providing all the information downstreaming from the balloon. So it looks to be a very, very interesting thing, and that's going to happen Friday afternoon is the official launch. I don't have a launch time, but I'm sure that it will be posted in our all of the materials you receive when you arrive at the hamvention.
Let's talk a little bit about logistics. Let me ask you this. Are you planning, is this hamvention to you, does it look as if it's going to be, bigger than last year, from all indications at this point?
From all indications at this point, I will answer yes, it does appear to be. We are on track with ticket sales. We've seen, and hams are notorious foot draggers and penny pinchers. So they wait till the last minute to start ordering tickets. But we have seen a real groundswell of ticket sales because we sent out our flyer in the mail. We sent out 23,000 of those about 2 weeks ago, and now we are seeing all the ticket sales spike up, and we're now beginning to also see the mail-ins, because there's still a lot of guys that do mail-ins. We do have our online system that I think many are familiar with that you can find at our website, but still a lot of mail-ins, so that's really coming in pretty strong at this point. And so all indications are based upon inside exhibitors and flea market, and if you get online, you can see the active map and just see what we do have as far as actual booth sales. And the number of booths that are turning blue now, which is means they're paid and confirmed, is, like I said, we're right at 90-95% on the inside, and they're rapidly catching up out in the flea market. So it looks good.
Well, one of the things that's kind of cool about Dayton are the door prizes, because there's some really really good stuff that gets put out there for door prizes at Dayton. And I was going to kind of run down the list here of some of the contributing vendors, people who have contributed stuff for the door prize situation, so that gives folks a little bit of an idea as to what they can expect. This alone should entice you, the possibility of being able to win something from one of these guys. But Alpha Radio Products, the ARRL, Bencher Butternut, Buckmaster, Buddy Pole, CQ Magazine, Cushcraft, DX Engineering, Flex Radio Systems, GRE, Heil, our good buddy Bob Heil, ICOM America, Isotron Antennas, Kenwood, LDG, Mendelson Electronics, MFJ, Buddy Martin Jew, Monitoring Times, which is also affiliated with CQ, I think. No, let's see. Monitoring Times is that. That is, that's not affiliated with CQ. Monitoring Times is, what is the gentleman's name? It's on the tip of my tongue. Bob Grove. And that's a, I mean, that's, and that's an excellent magazine. I don't know if you ever read Monitoring Times, but that's very well put together. Let's see, NGC, and I'm not familiar with them, but I think they make the
they're the importers of Comet and like the Daiwa SWR meters we all use.
Yeah, I say I'm not familiar with them, and I have a couple of Daiwa meters, so
yeah, I'll take a little.
Nifty Ham Accessories, Polymar, Palstar, R&L Electronics, Radio Waves, spelled with a VZ on the end. Step IR, of course, folks are familiar with that antenna. Super Antennas, the Ham Station, Time Wave, Universal Radio, and we all know those folks, W2IHY Technologies, and WB0W, and Yaesu. Do we know who Yaesu is? Anyways, these are all folks that have, these are companies that that have some vision and have given products to the Dayton Hamvention, and these are all the folks that are that make up the door prize list. So you can see how extensive this is. This is not a little ham fest with names involved.
These prizes that they are given away. We have when you purchase a ticket, you fill it out and you drop it in the hopper located over in the Hera. And you will see the piles and piles of boxes of all the prizes, thousands of them. And those are given away. And then come 3 o'clock on Sunday or thereabouts, then the major prizes are given away. And they give away some really nice major prizes. You know, you'll see $10,000 HF rigs from ICOM. You'll see last year they gave away... a complete D-Star repeater system. You know, what does that cost? $15,000 or something like that. So, yeah, these are not trinkets and baubles. These are very serious prizes.
You're listening to QSO, and we'll be right back with our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, and all about the 2010 Dayton Hamvention right after this.
If you like to travel, if you're a camper, if you'd like to take your ham radio hobby with you when you go, you need the Trans World Antennas TW2010L Backpacker Antenna. It's the same exact antenna as the TW2010 Adventurer, with the exception it's been streamlined for the person who likes to camp and travel light. It's the same rugged antenna structure as the TW2010, with the black powder coating and stealth design. We all know the TW2010 is a great permanent or portable antenna, but the TW2010L Backpacker takes portable and emergency operation to an entirely new level. It's especially suited for the amateur operator who loves backpacking, cycling, camping. It makes easy access and quick setup possible for the most extenuating emergencies. TW2010L Backpacker antenna is available now for a limited time for only $399.95. That's right, $399.95. Pricing includes backpacker, quadra stand, carrying bag, and free shipping in the continental United States through FedEx Ground. That's transworldantennas.com. And now for a limited time, only $399.95. That's transworldantennas.com.
Here at QSO, we've got something new, and that's a prize closet. And we are in the process of filling that prize closet up. And we're going to be telling you on the air some of the items that we've got in the prize closet. If you'd like to win some of these things, we'd love to see you do that. But what you've got to do is send us an email. Go up to the website, tedrandall.com or qsoradioshow.com. And when you go to that website, just simply send us an email. Say hello, tell us where you're listening, how the signal's coming in. If you're listening by podcast, tell us how you have joined this radio show. And then put a little note in there that says, I want to win. And we'll put your name in the hat, and we will have a drawing twice a month, and we're going to be giving away what's in our prize closet. Now, I can't tell you everything that's in there so far, but we'll be posting those items up on the website, and we'll be telling you about them on the air, but don't miss out. Send us an email and put in that email, I want to win. And let's see who the lucky winners will be. You're listening to QSO. And now, back to our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, with the Dayton Hamvention.
Well, and that's what's, that is what is so cool, because you know, if you win something. But, you know, it's fun to win anything. I don't care what it is. I mean, I've seen people get real excited over winning a small book of some sort at a ham fest. It's just the idea of winning something. I won, you know. So now we got winners this year. The Hamvention Awards.
Yeah.
And I was looking at a little bit of that. It looks like one of the Hamvention award winners for special achievement is Dick Ross, K2MGA, and a number of years. How long was CQ Magazine? I don't know. It's been
I think since the 70s. It's been a while.
But anyways, he is one of the recipients. Also, there's a fellow by the name of Simon Brown, HB9DRV. Now, I don't know much about this fellow, but he's got the technical excellence.
He's Mr. Ham Radio Deluxe himself. Those that operate digital modes, it's probably the most popular digital interface, sort of a Swiss Army knife of digital programs containing your logbook, your waterfall, radio interface, all in one, easy to deal with package. So I think everybody listening knows exactly who Simon Brown is.
All right, very good. And then Amateur of the Year is Jim Stafford. W4QO. And maybe you might want to tell us, do you know... It says he's been 50 years of service to amateur radio, so that's a pretty good while. Says he's an avid QRP-er. I was looking, if you know much about the fellow, you might want to talk about him a little bit. But he's the Amateur of the Year recipient.
You know, Jim has been around for a lot of years. I've met him. He's just done a lot of things. He's probably one of those perfect Elmers. You know, he just taught a lot of young folks. And I believe that he comes out of the communication world professionally. So he knows his stuff when it comes to RF. He was a president of NFARL in 06, and that's a pretty good club. And he's just been around for a long time, and has just really went beyond, above and beyond, to help others and to just bring others into the hobby. And he's a Christian man on top of all that. So he's really just done a lot, and that's what earned him this award. You just don't get that award for just operating HF. Takes a little more.
Well, now you have a club of the year, and this year it's the North Fulton Amateur Radio Club near North Fulton, Georgia. I'll be able to talk here just in a few minutes. And I guess that's from the greater Atlanta area. Do you know much about these fellows at all? Because they are the absolute club of the year as far as Dayton is concerned, and they are the recipient of that that recognition and that award. Are you familiar with them at all?
Yeah, actually I am. I have been contacted by them recently. We were talking, and they're going to bring a booth there to the Hamvention. In hopes of, showing other clubs how to rejuvenate their clubs. And that's what they're really kind of getting the award for, just bringing up their club and really getting it organized and bringing in new members and training young hams. And they're going to have a booth over in the North Hall next to the Midwest VHF-UHF Society. And also close to the homebrew area, and they've just done a real good job of bringing some new energy back into their area with their club. You know, as you mentioned, a lot of clubs are older fellows, and including the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. The average age is probably at least 50, I would think. And it's good to see clubs trying to reach out and reinvent themselves. And I think that's what this club did. They did a really good job, and they're going to have a lot of their achievements there at the show that we hope is going to be encouragement for other clubs that are coming to the show to see just what they've done and put some new life back into their own.
Well, and that's a good thing. If I don't fault clubs for... things get stale, things get kind of dry, it's the same thing over and over again, but it's easy to slip into that because, as busy as folks are today, how much time do you really have? If you're spending any time at all with a hobby of ham radio and you're on the air, you're doing anything, and even operating local, VHF repeater system and all that, how much time do you really have to plan and do things as far as a club is concerned, and then how much time do the members have to devote to any activities and that sort of thing? So that's always something that that has to be taken into consideration, because I know our local SBE chapter here, and I'm going to get nailed here for saying this, but these guys are very happy to get together once a month and have dinner and have a speaker. And that's about as far as it goes, And I don't think it's because people aren't interested in doing things. I think it's just the time restraints today on families and people are just, they're very restrictive. There's just not a lot of extra hours to spend. But you see, when you get a group of people together that are very organized and that are innovative and they have a lot of ideas, they come up with a lot of really cool stuff that can be done without a ton of involvement and a lot of hard work, if that makes any sense at all. I've heard of some things that were really cool. I've heard of clubs that have set up a Saturday afternoon in the local park, and they go and take a portable rig, pull an antenna up in a tree, or take their TW2010 or whatever they've got, and they set it up on a table and maybe put up a little banner or something. And as the families are going in and out of the park, hiking, walking, doing swinging, and all the other things, and the kids playing on the playground stuff, they pass by this amateur club, and they take a Saturday afternoon, and some of the guys go out there and relax and operate and kind of talk about ham radio, which is, I guess I want to say that doesn't take a ton of planning, an activity like that, and if you've got a pretty good-sized club, it doesn't wear two or three of the members out repeatedly over and over again, because different people can go out and do this kind of thing. So it's those innovative ideas, and I think by paying attention to, and I don't know if they're going to have any kind of forums, if they're going to be a part of the forums at all, but if you can look up this North Fulton Amateur Radio League organization from North Fulton, Georgia, and talk to some of their members, that could really be an inspiring thing, I think, if you have a local club. You get a lot of ideas from people like that. I was looking here. It says special interest groups offer in-depth training and discussion on topics such as antennas, learning CW, contesting, complex kit building. Let's see here. Mid-month madness events offer opportunities to build antennas and kits, visit members' shacks, explore new operating modes, delve into the boneyards at local ham fests and similar activities. You know, that's something I haven't heard of before, and that is visiting other members in their home at their ham shack. That sounds interesting.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of a club doing it. You know, I just think that's so cool. The first ham shack I've ever saw was, and I repeat this, and I'm sure people are tired of hearing about it, is Nelson Cosby, a ham up in Dearborn, Michigan. And I was taken to his home, and he showed me his ham shack, and he had a, well, back, that was boat anchor days, because he had a Heathkit Marauder and a Hallicrafters SX 101 and a Homebrew 813 amplifier and a 20-meter beam. And, you know, to me, it looked like a spaceship. And, but that would be really interesting to be able to visit other hams in their home. That, and this is something evidently that this outfit does. That's cool. You know, especially for young guys. Can you imagine, you know, what is it, around Christmas time, they do the candlelight tours of the historic homes and people travel in groups and they go from point A to point B and all that kind of stuff. But wouldn't that be cool if your local club had a group of young people that could go into various amateurs' homes and see their station set up and watch the man operate? That would just be too cool. I'm off on a tangent, aren't I?
Oh, you know, that's what ham radio is all about. It's got lots of tangents. It's nothing but tangents. There's so many directions you can go in. And, you know, like our award winner this year, they've went in a lot of directions, and you know, from you know, improving their V testing to you know, doing a lot of home brew and training of young guys how to solder and put kits together, and just it goes on and on. And you know, and I feel blessed because I live in Dayton, and you know, so we have, you know, if I may be so bold to say, probably one of the largest and most organized ham clubs in the world, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association. And we do all these things that you're talking about. But with as many members as we have, at any given meeting, it's standing room only with 150 chairs is the limit. So if you're not there early, you're standing. And that just is, you know, the 20% that come to the meetings. The other 80% are sitting at home. So with those kind of numbers to pull from, we have a tremendous number of guys that are doing just what you're saying, setting up a park, putting several field day locations together during field day. And just it goes on and on. You know, we do Thursday night trainings of new hams, how to solder, how to put kits together, do monthly projects. And, you know, we have our ham shack there. We have a nice little ham shack, of course, there it does with a stepper and another of the antennas, and just all sorts of things going on. The support of the various marathons and races. We do all these things, and we're hoping that clubs like this one just show others that, you know, hey, you know, you get involved again and breathe some life back into it.
Well, you know, just the fact that Dayton is such a large, you know, ham fest. I call it a ham fest, but hamvention. That is not a small undertaking for a radio club. I mean, that's like, I mean, that thing is, I mean, it's out of control. I mean, it's a ham radio ham fest on steroids. You know, and I guess I'd like to ask a question, or at least go down this road and say, how do y'all manage this thing? I mean, how do you keep it all together and make it happen?
Wow. That is a good question. You know, it has grown from its inception back in the 40s, 50s. And, you know, now that we have modern technology, in the last few years, we went to a dedicated custom-written software package just to manage the exhibitors, the flea market, the ticket sales. I mean, you think about it. You know, you're selling 20,000-plus tickets. You've got 1,300 actual flea market exhibitors taking up those 2,500 spaces. You got another 260 major exhibitors inside, and all the badges and all the things that go with that. It takes a very serious team to put it together. And we start meeting on this in October. We actually start putting together new ideas for it a month after the last Hamvention ends. So it is a 12-month-a-year process to put every Hamvention together. It takes the number of phone calls that I have to make for our exhibitors, which is what I do, is tremendous. It's a lot to deal with, and I have a day job. Let's not forget about that. It is a labor of love, and you have to really want to do everything you can for the ham community as a whole to be part of the Hamvention committee leadership. It's a tough job. It is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. It works me at least 2 hours a day, and in the peak of it, I'm putting in 6 and 7 hours come March a day. I get up at 5 in the morning, do my day job, and I'll work till 10 o'clock at night and do nothing but my regular job and Hamvention. But we love it. It's just, you have to love it to put this kind of effort in. It is not for the faint of heart.
What I was going to say, though, and that is I think that a lot of folks don't realize, though, how long a day it makes for the guys that are putting this Hamvention together and how many hours go into it and how much time is spent. And, I know now, not to go off on another tangent, but we're going to be live. We're going to be live at Dayton. We'll be on the air Friday. We'll be on the air Saturday. And I guess I'm not absolutely certain we'll be on Sunday. It depends on the broadcast schedule. But we'll be looking for us, and on the website you're going to see the schedule as to when we're on. We'll be streaming, so if you're not near a shortwave radio, you'll be able to pick up the live stream because we have a big, fat connection you should be able to have. And, of course, we're going to be working with Tom Medlin as close as we can so that we can have him around with a helmet cam on some of the stuff that we're doing, where we'll probably work together with Tom. He came over to the booth. That was the last time we worked with him. He was in Huntsville, and he came over to the booth, and we had a lot of fun. We had too much fun is what we had. But we want everyone to come. Now, you know, the Hamvention is only as much fun as there are people coming. So, overcome your fear of crowds, and don't worry about the parking, and because there's plenty of parking, and it's like Scott saying, bring your walking shoes, and plan on. That's one thing that we don't get as far as amateur radio people are concerned. We don't get enough exercise, so this is a good, bring the walking shoes and of course don't overdo it. Walk slow. Don't be, in a hurry. I guess I would bring some sunscreen. If you're going to be outside in the flea market area, probably a good idea to bring some sunscreen with you and get that. What do they rate that stuff at? I don't know. They've got all these different ratings for the stuff.
Yeah, 15, 30, 45. Yeah, you better bring it. Absolutely. I've returned home with red ears and neck more than once.
So that's, but this thing's to remember. Now, let's talk about hotel accommodations. At this point, I'm sure, is the hotel that's right near the convention, is it, do you know, are they booked out already, or do you know?
Most of the hotels are starting to fill up. Of course, the lesser expensive ones are probably already well gone. The more expensive ones you might have a shot at. And as you go farther away, you have a better and better shot. But you almost have to get out over 30 miles away at this point to find a less expensive hotel. Like anything like the Hamvention, it is the largest trade show in Dayton, bar none. And with that, all the hotels fill up. You know, south side of town, east side of town, they will fill up, 3-4 months out. So if you want to come, there are still hotel rooms available, and you can find links to all the hotels at our website at hamvention.org. But you better get on it because they fill up quickly, and, we are now, what are we away, 6 weeks away from the Hamvention on May 14th. So it's practically around the corner as far as I'm concerned.
You're listening to QSO, and we'll be right back with our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, and all about the 2010 Dayton Hamvention right after this. How many of you would like to operate 80 meters, but you can't because of antenna restrictions? Well, that's over. You can operate 80 meters right now. You can operate from your home, your apartment. You can take it on the road with you. It's the brand new Transworld Antennas 8080. Go to their website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. This is a portable antenna, but it can be a permanent antenna. It's stealth. It's not a low-profile antenna. This thing is a performance-driven piece of engineering. You need to see it. It will be at Dayton, and you need to hear one of these on the air. If you want to operate 80 meters and you can't, I love the 80-meter band. I can't imagine not being able to operate on 80. But nonetheless, if you're in that position, don't stay in that position. Go to the website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. Go up there and take a look at their brand new 8080 and look for it at Dayton.
If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting, you're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack Induction Lamp Systems. Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com.
You're listening to QSO. And now, back to our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, with the Dayton Hamvention. What was I going to say? Something I did find out, though, and that is sometimes there's not as much a difference in the hotel prices as you would think. In other words, you might travel way out in the sticks and find out that you're only saving $20 a night, if that makes any sense. That's what I found. Depending on where you're at, I found it was
just as easy to find someplace in town. But you got to hunt. I mean, you get on the phone and make some phone calls and get those reservations in. Now, something I was going to ask you about. Do you know whether or not the club that is operating currently at the old Voice of America site in Bethany, will they be open this year with their museum for the public? I'm just curious.
Well, they've got their booth in the North Hall. The Voice of America Club does. I do not know if the museum is open. I would think they would. You know, we can confirm that, but of course it won't do any good for you right now. But they will be there talking about their museum during the Hamvention.
Well, I'll have to get those guys on the air. We'll do a show with them. I'll call them up because I was able to take a sneak preview of the museum. Have you been in there at all?
I haven't been in there in a number of years, but
okay. So well, let me tell you something. They have got every old radio apparatus I think that was ever built on the planet. Okay, they have got one of every kind of everything in there. I have never in my life seen so much stuff. At one point in time, I mean, I was so crushed that our government has got no more brains and sense than to destroy a facility like VOA Bethany. Of course, now they can't wait until they take a wrecking ball to Delano, and now I understand they want to shut down Greenville in September. None of that makes any sense. That's total ignorance gone to seed. There are more HF shortwave radios out there today than there was during World War II and during the Cold War, and probably in more critical times. One good example is China. My God, the Texun Radio Company in Beijing, they make 30,000 shortwave sets per day. You know, so this makes no sense. You know, it really doesn't make any sense. And I know for a fact, because I'm on shortwave practically every day, the listening audience has grown remarkably since years ago. I mean, matter of fact, my buddy George McClintock, K4BTY, just put WTWW on the air. And this big monster is about 15 miles from my home here in Lebanon, Tennessee. And we went to test it. We went on the air to test. And I did 4 hours of oldies, just playing oldies and say, hey, send me an email, send me an email. We got 1,000 emails off this four-hour show, and this station had just hit the air. The frequency had been unoccupied, so what we were getting was just strictly passerbys, people just tuning around. There's people out there listening. Matter of fact, the Chinese government's got a big transmitter, I don't know, 250,000-watt job or something like that, down in South America, aimed at the U.S., and from what I understand, the Chinese buy time on several of the Canadian shortwave operations. You know, so, you know, it's like the whole idea of destroying Voice of America. I hate to get on a soapbox, but it's just absolutely insane. And I think that whoever is behind that needs to be taken out behind the antenna array and shot. You know, I mean, they really do. I mean, we just don't need that kind of stupidity. But anyways, I've said all that to say this. I was very disappointed at Bethany being destroyed. Antennas tore down the whole nine yards. I mean, I got to get off of this because if I keep going, I'm going to blow a fuse here. But anyway.
You're going to pop.
Yeah. But I went, these guys were across the aisle from us at Dayton. The guy said, well, why don't you stop by and take a look at what we've got so far? And I said, okay. So we went in and looked. And I'm telling you what, that what they have now is as interesting, maybe if not more interesting, than the original Bethany station that was there when it was operating. Because if you're interested in radio, period, they have got artifacts from WLW. They've got, of course, the old control board from the audio control system that was there for the VOA is there. They have still one transmitter there that's been kind of gutted, but I mean the actual shell of the transmitter, you can see what it looked like, and you can see exactly how the thing was put together. It's still there. The old switcher in the back of the building is out there. You can see it. But then they have got old radio gear, ham radio gear, I could not believe the number of shortwave radios, the number of all the amateur equipment that they have in there. It's absolutely mind-boggling. In other words, I have never seen anything like this before, other than when I was a kid at Greenfield Village and the Henry Ford Museum in Detroit, in that area where the Motor City Radio Club used to have their meetings. There was a good deal of old radio equipment there, but I honestly think these guys at the VOA Ham Club has got the Henry Ford Museum beat even back then. Of course, now Henry Ford Museum since then has taken all that stuff out. So if you're going to go to the Henry Ford Museum looking to see old radio equipment, you're going to be sorely disappointed because it's not there. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in storage or if they sold it or whatever, but it's not there anymore. So when I went to the Henry Ford Museum, I said, I don't think I'll go back. They don't have any old radio stuff, so I'll go to the village. I'll go to Greenfield Village. But these guys have really knocked it out of the ballpark. I mean, you really have to see this place. And, of course, I think we were kind of he snuck us in there. I don't think we were supposed to be there. And I'm telling it on the radio. But eventually they're going to have it open for the public. And when they do, oh, my goodness, this is going to be the place to see. And it's not very far. How far is it from the Dayton Hamvention? Do you know how far that site is, the Bethany site?
Well, by car, it's going to take you about 50 minutes to drive there to the south towards Cincinnati. It's in Westchester, Ohio, on Tylersville Road. I did just check their website, and they are still, looks like, undergoing the restoration, which is being funded by the Ohio Cultural Facilities Commission. So we've got some money backing behind it. And it will be very nice when completed. Who knows? Maybe we'll have it finished by the time Hamvention gets here.
Well, I hope so. But, you know, even if it's not, it's a good thing to make a note and to remember to visit this place as soon as it's open, because the site is of historic value, obviously, because that's where the Bethany Voice of America relay station was. And a good there's still quite a bit of stuff there from Bethany, so you can still see. I think one of the things that was impressive was walking the hallways and seeing all the pictures of all the various presidents on VOA and all the various American celebrities throughout history. You know, big names that were on the Voice of America. You know, and you know, I was very impressed as a young man. I had a shortwave set, and I used to listen to the Breakfast Show on the Voice of America, and it was a most unique radio program. Because they would play a Loretta Lynn song, and then they'd play a symphony piece. You know, then they'd play a song by some rock and roll artist, and then, you know, and then they would have an actor or some sort of celebrity on and do an interview. It was radio. My goodness, it was good programming. You just never knew what was coming up next, and it was a great representation of our culture. And I guess I'll go back on the soapbox and say, ham radio operators are one of the best ambassadors for the United States of America as far as our culture and lifestyle, because as we engage in conversation with people overseas and we talk about what we're doing and our jobs and our family and how things are here, and we talk to folks overseas, as far as I'm concerned, that is the best public relations you could possibly have. And word of mouth. Of course, the media has gone crazy. We're all connected by means of internet in some places. You know, I mean, there's still vast areas of the world that still does not have internet, and we fail to realize that. And in those, go ahead.
Now, so Voice of America, the park and museum, we've had a change, and unfortunately the old manager, he became a silent key last year. But a gentleman by the name of Dave Wickelhouse, N8DZ, is now the current guy in charge, and you, of course, can find his email address on QRZ, but it's n8dz@fuse.net, and he's more than happy to answer any questions you might have about the museum.
Well, I'll have to get him on the air and talk about the museum anyways, and they will have a booth, though, at the Dayton Hamvention. And even if they're not open, be sure and go by their booth and watch the video. Because there's a video they have of a bunch of amateurs taking a tour of the Bethany, Ohio station. So if you never had an opportunity to tour Bethany, and see all the big transmitters and the control board and all the other things that those guys had in there for the Voice of America. If you stand there for, I don't know, it's not very long, maybe 10, 15 minutes, you kind of get an overview of what was there. And these are pictures and videos that you won't see anywhere else. So they're a real, if you're a shortwave fanatic, this is a real good thing to take in. Let me ask you this. I don't want to keep you here all day long, but Dayton's an exciting thing. So we want to talk about Dayton, and we want folks to kind of have an idea, especially the younger crowd that maybe hasn't been to Dayton and really doesn't know much about it. Tell us, if you would, some of the folks that stick out in your mind, some of the booths or clubs or organizations that are there that stick out in your mind that cover different aspects of the hobby that folks might be interested in coming and seeing.
Wow, where does one... You know, we have the big commercial exhibitors. I mean, and everybody is game on, the big guys. You got ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, and then you have your big retail outlets, your DX Engineering and your R&L, and I could go on and on. And they have just wonderful displays. And all the big manufacturers are introducing their newest, their latest and greatest. I think even ICOM is bringing over one of their new radios into our special event station. We have a special event station that operates two rigs where we broadcast, where people can get in there and use a rig and talk from W8VI. And so we'll have a new ICOM rig in there that I guess is blind friendly, and we'll have a Flex 5000 sitting there. So two very nice high-end rigs that you can walk by and play with. Then you have, of course, all the other manufacturers that are just so we all need so much, from the guys that put up the giant towers with the ring rotators, all that kind of equipment. Luso, again, is bringing a big tower, not the 150-foot monster they brought last year, but a 90-footer, which is still a Mercedes of a tower. So every piece of tower equipment you can imagine, all the antenna manufacturers are there. Then you get into the clubs.
You're listening to QSO. And we'll be right back with our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, and all about the 2010 Dayton Hamvention, right after this. In this day and time, what we don't have much of is time. And if you enjoy operating and you just don't get a chance to, you need to take a look at the Trans World Antennas, TW2010, and all the models that operate the different bands. Go to YouTube and put in Trans World Antennas and see how simple this thing is to set up. I mean, it is easy. It goes together fast. And of course, that gives you more time to operate. You're not fussing around with an antenna. In an emergency situation, it is absolutely necessary. You need to have one of these. If not for yourself, for your club, or whoever it is that may get called out on a scene where you've got to operate and you've got to be able to set up quickly and efficiently. Go to their website, and that's transworldantennas.com. Transworldantennas.com. There's a link up there to YouTube, and you can see how quickly this antenna sets up, how easy it is to operate. Transworldantennas.com. QSO will be broadcasting live from the Dayton Hamvention. So we want you to come by and say hello. Find our booth and drop by and visit. And while you're at Dayton, be sure and go by the ARRL booth. Pick up one of the new Field Day t-shirts. Pick up a handbook. And check your ARRL membership. If you're not current, then rejoin. They usually have some kind of deal that if you join at Dayton, you get something. Well, I'd ask him about that. But pick up the new handbook, pick up your t-shirt, your Field Day t-shirt. Matter of fact, pick up two or three. They make great gifts. And then come by our booth and wave the t-shirts at us and say hello and stop by and chat with us on the air. Looking forward to seeing everybody at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention. Here at QSO, we've got something new, and that's a prize closet. And we are in the process of filling that prize closet up. And we're going to be telling you on the air some of the items that we've got in the prize closet.
If you'd like to win some of these things, we'd love to see you do that. But what you've got to do is send us an email. Go up to the website, tedrandall.com or qsoradioshow.com. And when you go to that website, just simply send us an email. Say hello. Tell us where you're listening, how the signal's coming in. If you're listening by podcast, tell us how you have joined this radio show. And then put a little note in there that says, I want to win. And we'll put your name in the hat, and we will have a drawing twice a month, and we're going to be giving away what's in our prize closet. Now, I can't tell you everything that's in there so far, but we'll be posting those items up on the website, and we'll be telling you about them on the air. But don't miss out. Send us an email and put in that email, I want to win. And let's see who the lucky winners will be.
If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting, you're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack induction lamp systems. Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to 5 times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems, lightpacksystems.com.
You're listening to QSO. And now, back to our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, with the Dayton Hamvention.
Of course, you know about we have the Club of the Year. We have FIFS, you know, CW enthusiasts, you know, so the clubs are there. The Ole Miss, they have a booth there. Many of the other types of clubs that do specialized things, QRP. We're also introducing this year something brand new, and I've already alluded to it a couple times, and that's the homebrew roundup section. And we'll have 10 booth spaces in the North Hall, down towards the east end of it, dedicated to homebrew. And ARRL has been so helpful, and they have their homebrew challenge, which their new winners of that will be coming out in their magazine. I can't announce that. I have that information, but that's top secret. But you'll be able to see what guys used to do and still do today. Build their own rigs, build their own antennas, build their own interfaces, all right there. So you can look inside, look under the hood, get a feel for what it's like and how rewarding it is to put your hands on the soldering iron and do it yourself for a fraction of the money it costs for the commercial equipment. So you've got all kinds of things like this to look at. And then, of course, we have people that you can want hats embroidered, shirts embroidered with your call sign, plaques made. That's all there as always. It's a wonderful experience. If you've never made it, to the Hamvention, it's such a thing. It's the Mecca. You just like they do over in the East. If you have to make a pilgrimage to the Hamvention at least once in your life. But unfortunately, once you make it, you'll want to make it again.
Well, I noticed that there's some things there like the QRP Amateur Radio Club International. If you're a QRP person, you're going to find many people of like faith at Dayton. It seems like I passed last year by two or three booths that were some sorts of QRP associations. You know, there, I mean, it wasn't just one group. There was like two or three groups there that were involved in QRP. Another thing, the Collins Collectors Association.
Yeah.
Those guys are there. There's some interesting things. All sorts of DX clubs and societies are there. I mean, I know I passed by and I couldn't keep track of them. And I for a person that's into DX, you know, there's a good place to come and meet folks of like faith. Satellite communication. AMSAT will be there, will they not?
Yes. They have a big booth area there in the Ball Arena 5 spaces, I believe.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're interested in satellite communications, and this is a good way, too. I mean, I know you can meet up with folks on the air, but if you could get a chance to see somebody face-to-face and you walk up and say, you know, I'm really interested in this, and can you tell me how to get into this? And you know, they're going to be able to read you, take you the right direction, show you equipment, show you books, I mean, different things. Of course, D-Star, all the people that are into that will be there. Amateur radio television. There'll be people there that have all kinds of things you haven't even thought of yet. They'll be there. And I remember going by several booths that were geared to amateur radio TV. Slow Scan. There was some stuff there on. And what else goes with Slow Scan? There's something else that they're doing now, and I can't keep up with all the technology.
Well, you now have a digital voice over HF, so there's software there and the interfaces for that also, which of course is kind of in my mind goes along with the Slow Scan, but or anything digital.
I love
digital mode. So
I was going to say something here. HF Pack are these guys that run around with the backpacks and do portable operation. There's all kinds of. All kinds of that kind of activity. And I passed by a few people. It seems like there was a few booths there about that were kind of dedicated to that. And I'm kind of talking off the top of my head, but now there's the Quarter Century Club thing going on. If you want to be involved in that. Also, we were talking about DX, but the North American DX Association will be there. So, I mean, and some of those folks also have activities that are off-site. In other words, they're not actually at the Hamvention. And if you go up to the Hamvention website, they'll tell you where those folks are at, when they meet, what they're doing. And a lot of people have, you know, of course, the problem with ham radio is there's so many different areas and so many different facets of the hobby that different people are interested in different things. So, and Dayton is large enough to where it accommodates all of that, where you won't find that at a smaller Hamvention or a small ham fest. You'll find some of it, but nowhere near to the extent that this is. So this is going to be a real challenge. Now you say also that they can that people can come in and actually operate the Dayton Ham Station.
Yes, we have a special event station that we do every year, and sometimes it's been hard to find. They've not had it in a good location. Admittedly, our own fault. This year, it is located right next to, right in the same area that the ARRL is located at the end of the Ball Arena. And if you came last year and you remember the restored Collins van, wasn't that a beautiful thing to look at?
Oh, that was cool.
Wasn't it? But it's going to be right where that was. So you'll be able to find it very easily near the ARRL area. And like I said, we have two rigs. They'll have beams up on the roof of the building, and you'll be able to put out a CQ or talk to a friend right from the W8BI station.
Oh, bring your little pocket recorder with you. So, you know, and go to the Dayton Hamvention station and sit there and get on the air and talk. That, you know, that's a historic thing. You know, operate a special event station and bring your pocket recorder so you can save the queue. So, matter of fact, if you'll go to the Dayton Hamvention and operate their station, take your pocket recorder and record the QSO, then forward me the file and I'll put it on this radio show. We'll have some fun with that. If anyone that wants to do that, record it and we'll put you on the air, because that'll be a real interesting an interesting thing to listen to. Now, I've got to tell this story because this this is all part of ham radio folklore. Okay, this is a Wolfong story. When I was when I was younger, I used to listen to, and I hung out on a frequency with a bunch of renegade guys. They called themselves the Alligators, and they were on 3895. Now I've just lost half of my listening audience here. These guys were very unconventional. There was a lot of activity that went on that frequency that was unsavory, I will say. There's things that happened there that got on my nerves, okay? But anytime you get a bunch of fun-loving guys together in one spot, you're going to have some cut-ups, and then you're going to have some just absolute crazy people that come along, you know. But nonetheless, there was a lot of real good folks that hung out on 3895. Now, I don't know if this was exclusive to 95. I think it was. But every year, there was a rumor circulated that there was going to be a rumble. You know, I mean a knockdown dragout in front of the Heathkit booth. This was going to happen every year. And, of course, they set a time. They said, on Saturday at 2 o'clock in front of the Heathkit booth, you'd better be there, you know. And you'd hear one guy get on the air and kind of challenge the other guy, you know, and you'd listen to this and you'd say, oh, my gosh. And then other people would talk about it and say, man, have you heard what's going on? Dayton this year, 2 o'clock, Heathkit booth, man, big, big fight. Boy, these guys, I don't know what the, wow, this is going to be something. So at 2 o'clock in the afternoon sharp, there would be a crowd of people that had been subjected to this snipe story that would gather around this Heathkit booth. I don't know what the four poor folks at Heathkit thought. I mean, I've often wondered about that, okay? And everybody would be standing around waiting for this non-existent confrontation. And, of course, the guys that perpetrated the rumor, they're all standing around, you know, eyeballing and talking and chewing the fat and having a big time, you know, just because they're all buddies. And the rest of the crowd is all standing around just confused, not knowing. Well, usually what would happen is several of the fellows would walk over, because you could tell the bystanders, because I was a bystander one year. I was standing there waiting to see what was going to happen. And somebody walked over to me, and I don't recall who it was, to tell you the truth. I really don't. but I know K8RXW was his call sign at the time. Ken Kiefer was there. And they'd let you in on the secret. They'd say, well, look, it's just fun. It's just a rumor. There is no confrontation, you know. But now what you've got to do is you've got to help us perpetrate the rumor for next year. And, of course, then you were into it, you know. So come time for Dayton the following year, you'd be on the air. Hey, have you heard about the confrontation at the Heathkit booth, you know. And the crowd grew bigger and bigger. I don't know. I don't know whatever happened to that. I don't know when it stopped or when they quit doing it or whatever. But I got a big bang out of that. I thought that was one of the most fun things I think I'd ever heard of on ham radio. And, you know, hams do have a sense of humor. We talk a little bit about Hiram Percy Maxim and the Wolfong and the Ready Snitch and all these traditional things that he came up with were nothing but just plain funny bone tongue-in-cheek humor. And his award that sits at league headquarters still sitting there on the shelf waiting for some amateur to claim it. And that award is for the first ham that contacts the planet Mars. You know, so we, you know, and you figure, you know, back during that time when Maxim lived, he was taking sense of humor to the limit. I mean, that was, you know, I guess I want to say maybe people, the sense of humor changes, I think, over years. You know, you can tell it by watching television. You go back and watch an old episode of the Lucy Show and compare it to what you see on TV today. It's a different form of humor. And but Maxim was really, really good at that. But I wanted to tell that story because I'm sure there are more stories about Dayton like this. And if anyone has one or knows something like that, be sure and shoot us an email. Go up to QSORadioshow.com and send us an email because I'd be interested in exploring it and talking about it a little bit. And if you've got a favorite Dayton story of some sort, something that you remember, a trip to Dayton that you really liked, and something that really sticks out significant in your head, be sure and shoot us an email and tell us your story, and we'll get you on the air. We've got Scott. What else? Anything else that you want to talk about or cover at this point? We've talked a lot, but Dayton is, you could talk for days about the Dayton Hamvention.
You know, probably one of the flavors that I would love to point out is the international nature of the Dayton Hamvention. And that's something, other than its sheer size, that is unique to the Dayton Hamvention. We have many exhibitors and many visitors that come from all over the world. I mentioned Luso Tower. That's a Japanese company, which makes probably one of the finest towers in the world. Not the cheapest tower, but definitely one of the finest towers in the world. And Bengali Keys and Marconi, this is another fellow from Japan. And we have people that set up retail booths from Spain. And Falcon Radio is coming over the years. And you're just all over the world. And then the number of people that just attend that are from South America and all over the place. Now, that is really fun to be walking around and going to these different booths and just to hear and see people speaking in their native tongues about ham radio. And we're just not talking about Spanish. There's a lot of Spanish people in the United States, but, Chinese and Japanese. Now, you'll not get that anywhere else. And that alone just gives you an idea of just how big this thing is.
You're listening to QSO. And we'll be right back with our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, and all about the 2010 Dayton Hamvention, right after this.
If you like to travel, if you're a camper, if you'd like to take your ham radio hobby with you when you go, you need the Trans World Antennas TW2010L Backpacker Antenna. It's the same exact antenna as the TW2010 Adventurer, with the exception it's been streamlined for the person who likes to camp and travel light. It's the same rugged antenna structure as the TW2010, with the black powder coating and stealth design. We all know the TW2010 is a great permanent or portable antenna, but the TW2010L Backpacker takes portable and emergency operation to an entirely new level. It's especially suited for the amateur operator who loves backpacking, cycling, camping, and makes easy access and quick setup possible for the most extenuating emergencies. TW2010L Backpacker Antenna is available now for a limited time for only $399.95. That's right, $399.95. Pricing includes backpacker, quadra stand, carrying bag, and free shipping in the continental United States through FedEx Ground. That's transworldantennas.com. And now for a limited time, only $399.95. That's transworldantennas.com.
It operates 20 through 10 meters. It's stealth. It will keep up with any three-element beam and any vertical that you have on your property. But if you can't have a three-element beam or a vertical on your property, you can still have a TW2010. It is stealth. It disappears. We tried to take pictures of it, and we had to move the thing around because it hides so well. There is no compromise in performance with this antenna, and it's portable. You can take it with you on vacation. It's quite unique. They make several flavors of this antenna, however. If you want to operate 80, 40, 60, 30-meter band, it's all there. Go to their website and check it out, transworldantennas.com. That's transworldantennas.com, and check out the special pricing right now.
If you're the decision maker for any form of outdoor lighting,
You're going to want to listen to this. The Light Pack Systems induction lights, manufactured in the USA by a severely disabled workforce, uses a unique physical principle of light generation. This lamp system is therefore classified in a new family of sources, the Light Pack Induction Lamp Systems. Light Pack induction lighting is a breakthrough for professional, general, and special lighting applications, not only because of its high luminescence and efficiency, but especially because of its unprecedented lifetime. System lifetime is rated at 100,000 hours, or about 20 years, based on 5,000 burning hours per year. With a failure rate of less than 10%. With this unmatched durability, LightPack offers substantial savings in direct maintenance costs as well as indirect costs. Induction lighting is relatively new in the United States, but it's proven technology developed in Europe over 20 years ago. Therefore, claims of durability is based on real-world empirical data, as opposed to estimated design life provided by competitive lighting technologies such as LED. LightPack Systems was founded on the principles of green solutions for modern lighting through strong partnerships with the U.S. military, the University of Central Florida, and several national energy service companies. LightPack offers lighting solutions that provide a better quality of light with a 66% energy savings, also lasting up to five times longer than standard lighting options. LightPack's quality shines through with their standard 10-year warranty on all products. Call today for your free demonstration. Go to their website, lightpacksystems.com. That's lightpacksystems.com, spelled LitePackSystems. lightpacksystems.com.
Here at QSO, we've got something new, and that's a prize closet. And we are in the process of filling that prize closet up. And we're going to be telling you on the air some of the items that we've got in the prize closet. If you'd like to win some of these things, we'd love to see you do that. But what you've got to do is send us an email. Go up to the website, tedrandall.com or qsoradioshow.com. And when you go to that website, just simply send us an email. Say hello, tell us where you're listening, how the signal's coming in. If you're listening by podcast, tell us how you have joined this radio show. And then put a little note in there that says, I want to win. And we'll put your name in the hat, and we will have a drawing twice a month, and we're going to be giving away what's in our prize closet. Now, I can't tell you everything that's in there so far, but we'll be posting those items up on the website, and we'll be telling you about them on the air. But don't miss out. Send us an email and put in that email, I want to win. And let's see who the lucky winners will be. QSO will be broadcasting live from the Dayton Hamvention. So we want you to come by and say hello. Find our booth and drop by and visit. And while you're at Dayton, be sure and go by the ARRL booth. Pick up one of the new Field Day t-shirts. Pick up a handbook. And check your ARRL membership. If you're not current, then rejoin. They usually have some kind of deal that if you join at Dayton, you get something. Well, I'd ask him about that. But pick up the new handbook, pick up your t-shirt, your Field Day t-shirt. Matter of fact, pick up two or three. They make great gifts. And then come by our booth and wave the t-shirts at us and say hello and stop by and chat with us on the air. Looking forward to seeing everybody at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention. You're listening to QSO. And now, back to our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, with the Dayton Hamvention.
Well, when we were staying at the hotel, I noticed we get on the elevator, and other people board the elevator, and there would be people from all over the world in the elevator talking different languages and whatnot. You know, and you realize then what an impact that the Hamvention has, because it's drawing people from places that normally don't attend Hamfest, at least not in the United States. And I think one of the things that I'm going to be interested in watching over the next number of years, and that is the manufacturers in China that will probably be manufacturing the Chinese versions of amateur radio gear. I don't know how much of that's going on now, but I'm sure we're going to see that. That's bound to be
Oh, sure.
Something that's that's up and coming. And, of course, that's going to challenge our traditional manufacturers. And, of course, it's going to be interesting to watch. Of course, you know, Yaesu is already manufactured overseas. I guess ICOM as well. Those two radios are not made in the U.S. as far as I know. Olenco is not made in the U.S. as far as I know.
All three Japanese companies.
Of course, that leaves folks like Elcraft and people like Flex Radio and Tentec, which are still stateside amateur radio manufacturers.
And that's it. That's it. So those are both some of the best of the best that are left here in the United States.
Well, I know it's, you know, you think about it, and the other thing that's interesting, of course, I always get a big bang out of going by the MFJ booth, because Martin Jew's booth at Dayton is almost a ham fest all by itself.
Well, Steve Pan, but yeah, he's, and then he's brought Kush Craft back now. You know, Kush Craft, we lost Kush Craft. They were sold to MFJ, and now they're bringing them back. And now Kush Craft again has a presence in the Hera.
Well, you know, it's amazing because he's got Ameritron, the amplifier company.
Yep.
And those things are built like battleships. I mean, I've looked at the construction of those things. They're really fine-looking amplifiers, you know. He's got all the other trinkets and toys. And I remember the very first thing he ever made, and I don't know if you've ever talked to Martin much at all, but a very soft-spoken fellow. One of the nicest people you could possibly ever meet in the whole wide world. But his first device was the MFJ CW filter. And it was a little blue box. It ran on a 9-volt battery, and you plugged it into your headphone jack and plugged your headphones into this thing. And it would take you all the way down to a bandwidth of about 80 hertz. And if you were like I was, and that was a novice with a general coverage receiver, boy, did that thing make a difference. I was so impressed with that little thing. Of course, it rang a little bit, but I mean, considering what it did, and I think back in the day it only sold for like $19 or something. I don't know. I can't remember. But that was his first thing. That was his first invention. And now I don't know. I mean, what would we do without our MFJ antenna analyzers?
I don't know a single ham who does not have some form of a piece of MFJ equipment. Not a one. I can't think of anybody that doesn't, myself included. I mean, they have Ameritron, High Gain, Mirage, Spectronics, MFJ, and Kushcraft. That's a lot of coverage.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you something, though. Those little antenna analyzers are absolutely amazing.
The 259B and the 269. Oh, yeah.
They keep you out of trouble. You know, I mean, and they're so quick. You know, you just sit down and connect this thing up to the PL259. You know exactly what you have. You know, there's no questions asked. You know, I'll tell you somebody else that's very amazing who is an intricate part of the Dayton Hamvention, and that is Bob Heil. Bob shows up there. What do they call that area? Audio Alley?
Audio Alley. I think they called it Audio Arena now, but yeah, Audio Alley is the name that everybody remembers. Yep.
And of course, Bob and Sarah are there. Usually Chip Margelli is there. I'm sure Chip will be there this year. And of course, that's Bob's big thing, you know, is Dayton, because he's been involved with the Dayton Hamvention since the inception of the thing, I think, almost. I mean, he's been there all the time, and he's a real avid, stodgy supporter of Dayton. If you're not going to Dayton, don't talk to Bob Heil, because he'll tell you that he'll get you convinced to come. But every microphone, I think, that he makes is there. He has ways of displaying them. And then at the Dayton Hamvention, he discounts the mics pretty good. I mean, if you're looking for a Heil mic, this is the place to come get it. Mm-hmm. But all up and down that audio alley is stuff related to amateur radio audio and Heil's microphones. And of course, after I ran into that, that's all I use here. I mean, I'll be real honest with you, and I'm not doing it as a commercial. It's a matter of I used to use the Electrovice RE20s in broadcast radio, and the first time I ever saw Heil demonstrate his PR 30 and 40 up against an RE20, I thought he had it rigged. I said, there's no way that RE20 sounds so bad, you know? And when I got my first PR 40, I had two brand new RE20s here in the studio, and it made them sound horrible. It really did. It's such a fine sounding microphone. And he's got the ham radio side of it honed down to the point where, between the different microphone cartridges and whatnot, it's truly amazing. And he now, you know, he usually, I don't know if he's going to do it this year or not, but he usually puts on some sort of a seminar in regards to amateur radio audio. And we've broadcast several of those, and they are excellent. So if he's there, I don't know if he's going to do that this year or not, but if he is, and you're coming to Dayton, be sure to take in the Heil Audio Seminar. You'll learn an awful lot, because you might think you know about audio, but when you get done listening to Bob Heil, of course, you know, he invented quadrophenia for the Who. So, I mean, there's no telling what else he's been into. I mean, him and Paul Klipsch, the fellow that was the inventor of the Klipsch horn speaker and all that, that's the circle of people he runs in. So he's really knowledgeable. But, man, he loves Dayton.
He has been around, there's no doubt. And you know, he must have something planned, because he actually expanded his booth spaces this year and added another booth. He has almost the entire wall down the audio on the one side of the audio arena now. And so he is, he's got something up his sleeve. I'm sure about that. He hasn't told me what it is yet. But
well, you know, I'll tell you, you know, but you think about him, the expertise he has, and then along with that, the expertise that Chip Margelli has. You can talk to Chip for hours and cover all sorts of subjects. I don't think there's anything in ham radio he hasn't done enough. For folks that don't know, Chip was one of the fellows that appeared on the Jay Leno show that competed in the CW contest that took CW up against text messaging on the cell phones.
That was him. I did not know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was really funny to watch these young people with their text messaging cell phones there trying to compete. Of course, CW just blew them away. I mean, they had the message done in just a matter of seconds. These guys, the kids were still punching in the letters on the cell phones. It was all over for the CW guys. They had it done and out the door. And if you haven't seen that clip, go up to YouTube and find it. It's, I don't know, I guess you'd put Jay Leno Morse code or something like that. And
Yeah, Morse code. But I still remember the message. Do you remember the message they sent? I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance.
Yeah, I'm right. Okay, that's right. I was going to say, I had to do something with a commercial, but Chip's a little hard to recognize because he's got that visor on, you know, and he looks like an old telegrapher, you know.
Right. That's it. They made him dress the part. But it was good fun.
It really was. I enjoyed that clip. The Dayton Hamvention. Okay, let's talk about dates. When do we start?
Well, the first day of the show is Friday, May 14th, opening up Flea Market at 8 a.m. and Inside Exhibits at 9. And we go through Sunday. About 1 o'clock will be the close of the Inside Exhibits, and then they start giving away the prizes. They actually start setting up, of course, a couple days before. It's big excitement. So come in the 14th through the 16th in May, and you'll have a good time, rest assured.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on board. Be sure to go up to the website, which is hamvention.org. Also, they're going to be doing license exams there, so if you're wanting to come and take a ham test to upgrade or to get your technician license or anything, right now this is a good time to do it at Dayton. And that will be, I guess when you go up to the website, you can look at the menu and find out all about the license exams as to when they're going to be giving them and where they will be and all that sort of thing. So just be sure and be there. Thank you so much, Scott. I appreciate you joining us. You'll have to come back again, and we're going to round up some other folks. I'm going to try to get Bob Heil on the air and the folks from the Voice of America site and just see how they're coming along. We want to visit their booth and take in their thing at the Dayton Hamvention. But thank you so much for coming on with us, and I really have enjoyed talking with you.
It's my pleasure, Ted. And just to put in one final plug, don't forget to visit Ted at booth 402 and 403 in the Ball Arena, where he'll be having his show right there. And yep. We're really excited and looking forward to it, Ted.
QSL will be live from the Dayton Hamvention. So, and we'll look forward to it. Thank you so much.
73, my friend.
Since the beginning of time and across the history of radio broadcasting, there's only one radio station that has ever earned a full-length documentary dedicated totally and completely to its rise to a pinnacle never before achieved by any radio station, and its fall. This is a story of what happened when the most legendary programming genius of all time takes the reins of an obscure Canadian radio station in the small city of Windsor, Canada, and creates a radio legend that rocked the Motor City, the USA, and half a continent.
Well, that does it for Big Tom Rivers, 1971, and Hank O'Neill starts a brand new year next at CKLW. For the last time this year, I will say to you, rock on, mother!
Ladies and gentlemen, the beat goes on.
CKLW.
2020 news guys, they were disc jockeys without music. Bum, bum, bum. And everybody knew that something was going to happen. You knew something was going to happen.
Motor City Mayor Roman Gribbs has a mad on for an unidentified rapist, a butcher knife-wielding pervert cornered a secretary in the elevator at Detroit City County Building and rode her to the vacant seventh floor and proceeded to sexually assault her. Guards are now being considered for future surveillance of the crime-stained seventh floor. Lee Marshall, 2020 News.
Now, Markham Street Productions takes you there as you relive the rise and fall of
the big HCKLW, the Motor City.
You can now own your own copy of this new DVD documentary, Radio Revolution, the rise and fall of the Big 8 from Markham Street Productions. The special edition DVD of this award-winning feature-length documentary includes extra scenes, outtakes, photos, and special features. Radio Revolution, the rise and fall of the Big 8, is now available for only $29.95 plus shipping. Go to RadioRevolutionDVD.com. That's RadioRevolutionDVD.com. Order now while supply lasts. RadioRevolutionDVD.com. That's RadioRevolutionDVD.com.
And the hits just keep on coming.
CKLW.
In this day and time, what we don't have much of is time. And if you enjoy operating and you just don't get a chance to, you need to take a look at the Trans World Antennas TW2010 and all the models that operate the different bands. Go to YouTube and put in Trans World Antennas and see how simple this thing is to set up. I mean, it is easy. It goes together fast. And, of course, that gives you more time to operate. You're not fussing around with an antenna. In an emergency situation, it is absolutely necessary. You need to have one of these. If not for yourself, for your club, or whoever it is that may get called out on a scene where you've got to operate and you've got to be able to set up quickly and efficiently. Go to their website, and that's transworldantennas.com. transworldantennas.com. There's a link up there to YouTube, and you can see how quickly this antenna sets up, how easy it is to operate. transworldantennas.com. QSL will be broadcasting live from the Dayton Hamvention, so we want you to come by and say hello. Find our booth and drop by and visit. And while you're at Dayton, be sure and go by the ARRL booth. Pick up one of the new Field Day t-shirts. Pick up a handbook. And check your ARRL membership. If you're not current, then rejoin. They usually have some kind of deal that if you join at Dayton, you get something. Well, I'd ask them about that. But pick up the new handbook. Pick up your t-shirt, your Field Day t-shirt. Matter of fact, pick up two or three. They make great gifts. And then come by our booth and wave the t-shirts at us and say hello. And stop by and chat with us on the air. Looking forward to seeing everybody at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention.
That's going to do it for QSO this week. A special thanks to our guest, Scott Myers, AC8DE, with the Dayton Hamvention. We look forward to seeing all of you at Dayton, so make plans to come and stop by the QSO booth and say hello. Pick up an ARRL Field Day t-shirt and come by our booth and wave it at us. We want to see you there. QSO airs on Tuesdays and Thursdays, same time, same station, and on iTunes and Zune. Also, be sure and go to our website, QSOradioshow.com.